Hopefully my thoughts will not be confounded. Good morning, everybody. Let me get my spectacles out so I don't make a spectacle of myself this morning. Give me just a minute to get here. Just was looking, trying to figure out where I would like to, what the Lord was having to lay on my heart to speak on this morning. I was struggling just a little bit to come up with what I wanted to. It is a topical study, but it's one that is needed throughout the church, and it is one that we should consider probably on the regular if we don't have an idea of where we are in our spiritual walk in serving God. Different people, different speakers listening to regarding this subject, which we'll get to in just a minute. It's one that's been asked for, so it's one we're going to start. I'm going to start it. Don't know if I'll be the one to finish it or pass it on with Neil Kenneth or one of us helping to continue on with this study. One of the speakers that I listened to, I liked this way he introduced it, and he was talking about coming and giving somebody, bringing gifts. We all like to receive gifts, whether birthday, Christmas, or something. You come with a gift and you're excited that I'm giving Kenneth the gift, or giving Diane or Juliana somebody, I'm giving you this gift, and you're great, this is love it. I love getting gifts, and I want to open it, see what it is for me, and being all excited about it. And he said, the one that I was listening to, and again, it's a good comparison, because all he has to do is just throw one word right in front of that one, and everybody kind of goes, ooh, it's spiritual gift or gifts. And as I think, because sometimes we get confused on what our spiritual gifts are, our gift is, or are. We could have more than one spiritual gift. But when we start talking about spiritual gifts, like, I don't know, is that for now? Was it for them back then? Is it something that's still going on within the church today? But we're going to look at Scripture. And again, this is me giving the intro into it, and we will look to see what God's Word has to say about it, and is it true for us today, and how we should be viewing spiritual gifts. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is the where we're going to start looking at spiritual gifts and what God's Word has to say about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'll give you a second to get there. Let's just begin by reading verses 1 through 4 for now. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant. So spiritual gifts or gifting is that which sustains and it edifies the church. These gifts provide the staying power of the Holy Spirit in every local church. These gifts are part of Christ's grace providing for the growth of the local church. Just to say that God has a plan for you and your gift will help you fulfill it. We as the body, and I'm being in general, we as the body can be ignorant on the subject of spiritual gifts. Why is that? Is it not found in Scripture? Do we not find places? Well, obviously, we're going to go to it right now. We're going to be looking at some of these. But I don't know if we purposefully, maybe I do so also, because I have a pretty good idea what my spiritual gift is, and I don't use it to its full potential that God has given me. So again, we can be ignorant. Why? Again, I don't know. The Apostle Paul wrote three chapters, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Plus, we'll see that there's other places in Scripture that talks about spiritual gifts. Again, maybe we find it too confusing. And in some cases, we might even find it to be divisive. That some people are boasting themselves over their gifts, or we feel like ours is too lesser a gift. And that causes some level of division. And that's what keeps us from furthering our investigation into what God has gifted us to edify the church. And I'm going to keep using gift because it is a gift. It is what God has given us. Gifts are a means to keep the local meeting spiritually led and not carnally led. Paul had to correct the Corinthian believers that were using their gifts carnally. And we get to learn from them, right? So we get to see how people did it wrong and hopefully learn how to do it the right way. It's better to learn from others' mistakes. Keep telling our kids that. It's better to learn from others' mistakes, even though we tend to want to learn them on our own. Maybe that just comes with wisdom. I don't know. But we all seem to want to learn things on our own way. Let's not do that today. So what are spiritual gifts? What are their purposes? Have some ceased? Have some others remained? If so, which ones? Again, this is just an intro into spiritual gifts. We're not going to be answering all of these questions, but those are some of the questions that you should be considering when you're when we're talking about spiritual gifts. So again, let's start by defining spiritual gifts. We're already at 1 Corinthians 12. We've read through 1-4. In verse 1, the spiritual translation is pneumatica. I think I'm saying that right. That is related to the Spirit. Gifts translates to the plural of charisma, a gift of grace given without merit. Again, it is a gift of grace given without merit. It is not something that we've earned. It's not something that we've presented ourselves to God, and we are getting that based on that. It is God's gift given of the Spirit as a grace, gift of grace given without merit. Spiritual gifts have as their source the Holy Spirit, and they have as their basis God's grace, again, not our merit. So a spiritual gift can be defined as a gift given by grace, that is, given without merit on the part of the one that has received it, given by the Holy Spirit for ministry or service in the local church. The things that a spiritual gift is not. A spiritual gift is not a talent. Talents are natural. Spiritual gifts are supernatural. Talents are inherited from one's parents. They're physical in some nature. Spiritual gifts are received from God. Talents are received at birth. They are natural. Spiritual gifts are received at the time of the new birth. So one of the examples that I had on here that I've always thought, and it's very relevant that we're thinking about it. I used to run track and field. Most of you know that I ran track and field in high school and in college. It was something that I was good at. I had some natural ability. I don't know. I gained height somewhere, not on my dad's side, but we did have good physical. Dad did some, I think he did karate or something until he kicked his shoulder out in college and stuff. But I enjoyed running. It was something I was good at. It was something that I could do better than most. And I don't want to make it sound like it's racist because I had a lot of friends that were black, but I could outrun a lot of them. I was fast. I had good fast twitch muscles. It was a natural ability to go and to run, be fast. Just something I enjoyed to continually to get better at. I could run against myself. One of the things that I did in college, well, I learned I wasn't fast once I got to college, right? Because those guys are ridiculous. We would do training. We would do mental and physical training exercises. And one of them that I remember, because it was fun for me, for somebody, if you never run fast, to feel running faster just gives you kind of a rush. It would take a bungee cord. It had two on for me to hold onto at the start line. And the other one would go around somebody's waist, and they would stretch this bungee cord out to about the 50-yard line. And then at the sound of the gun or the go, this is training. This is all part of practice. And again, it was to help us learn how to run faster, how to move our feet faster. When they said go, that person would take off running. I would take off running. And it's pulling you forward to give you that big forward motion of moving faster. The reason I say this is because the natural ability of this other fella was ridiculous. He would stand at the line with me, and they would say, go. We're flying down. And at some point, he breaks off. I let go and continue on the run for the rest of the way through the 100-yard line. Now, again, I'm not a 10-second sprinter on the 100. Wasn't back then. But with that overspeed running, I could hit that 100-yard mark in about 10 seconds. And as I crossed over that line, I looked to my right, and this guy's right on my heels crossing at the same time. So he was using me as a rabbit. He was just keeping up with me and trying to pass by me, and there was no way that I could do this. This guy had natural ability. I looked for years, kind of watching to see if maybe he was going to show up in the Olympics. He had that ability, but yet he never trained at the potential to improve, to get to that level, to where he could go. He wasted that natural talent that he had. That being said, spiritual gifts are not something that's natural. They're supernatural. Even though I was a fast runner, even though he was a fast runner, these are things that he had. Even though I may be a good speaker, or I may be do something else very well, it does not necessarily mean that that is the spiritual gift that I have. Spiritual gifts are possessed by only saved people, those who are members of the church, whose body is the body of Christ. An unsaved person may mimic a spiritual gift. They may be a good person. They may be somebody that can uplift people. They may be someone that helps, someone that serves. But it is limited into such degree because ultimately their sin nature wants it to reflect back on them. And if they're not getting something out of it, they're not continuing to go forward and do such things. They want the glory, such as false prophets, false teachers, etc. When it benefits them no longer, they move on to something else. Verse 4 says, "Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit." There are diversities of gifts. There's going to be 9 specific gifts of the Spirit that are mentioned in verses 7 through 10. I think there's 20 gifts in all that are named within the New Testament. So we're going to pick up at verse 10, read through 7, verse 10. Verse 7, "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." All right, here we go. This is where the spiritual gifts begin. "For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the effecting of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues." So verse 7, it began, "But to each." To each believer is given at least one gift. For what, again, in verse 7? What is verse 7? What is the purpose of the gifts? What does it say? For the common good, for the profit of all. That's another way to say it. For the common good or for the profit of all. The Holy Spirit tells us His purpose in gift-giving is to benefit all, to profit all, to edify the entire assembly. I'm going to take a little bit of a brief pause here for a minute and move back into something that needs to be said on it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 through 3. Let's just read those again real quick. "For you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you were formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in His mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of the result of works, so that no one may boast, but we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, for which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So who is endowed with spiritual gifts? It's got to be believers, right? If you're not a believer, you do not have the Holy Spirit living within them. Therefore, you are not endowed with the spiritual gift. You may be gifted in other areas, but you do not have the effective work of the Holy Spirit working in your life. How is one saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He has given us freedom in Jesus Christ. He has given us the ultimate gift in his Son, Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, the greatest gift of any mankind, is to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and to have the Holy Spirit indwelling at them at the time of that rebirth. It is not a time frame to see if they're going to be saved, how they are saved. From that moment that the person believes, the Holy Spirit indwells them and gives them a power like none other to help guide them, to help direct them, and to help lead them. At that time, God gives them this gift of the Holy Spirit, and the gift gives them their own personal spiritual gift. Each believer, that's you, if you're here today as a believer of Jesus Christ, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and he is the gift giver. These gifts are not given to edify the individual, but to edify the whole. The gifts given by the Holy Spirit will work in unison when used properly. The Corinthian church were putting greater emphasis on certain gifts, and they were elevating those positions or men, and they were causing divisions within the assembly. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 talks about this. We'll look at a few of them just for context. 1 Corinthians 1, 11 through 13. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. And now I mean this, that each one is saying, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I am Christ. Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? So we see that there was different divisions that were happening. Chapter 3, verse 3. For you are still fleshly, for since there is jealousy and strife among you, Are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? Again, for one says, I am of Paul and I am of Apollos. Are you not mere men? What then of Apollos and of Paul, servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. So we see that God is the giver. God is the one that should receive all of the glory. It is not man. It is not our purpose to bring glory and honor to ourselves. It is to bring glory and honor to Christ, to God alone. One Spirit is managing the works of the gift-giving and the individual. We'll go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll read verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. The Holy Spirit gives the gift, and he empowers it. All by the grace of God. Every gift is given by the sovereign will of the Spirit of God. It isn't something that we're going through a magazine. We haven't received something in the mail. We pick through it and go, which flavor, which spiritual gift do I want this morning? Which one looks like it fits me? Well, you know what? I like to serve, so maybe my gift is service. Or I like to speak or teach, so maybe mine is teaching. Maybe mine is this as we go through there. God has given each one their individual gift that He would have us to have. It is His will and it is His desire that we should discover what our spiritual gift is, and that we, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, we continue to let it grow, and that we would help the body to mature and to be more glorifying to God. There are many examples throughout the Bible of ones that did not feel that they were the right ones for the job at hand, but God in His sovereignty gave them what was needed to complete His will in their life. And just some of the different examples to consider is Timothy. Probably didn't feel like he was very well spoken, but yet he was elevated to different position. Moses didn't feel like he was up to the task at hand and would ask for helps, but God would give him the power to go. Isaiah, these different ones didn't feel like they were able to go, but yet God gave them the power. God was the one that was indwelling them and gave them the Spirit to help them through that. Jump over to verse 31 for just a moment, just because I've seen some of the things even before we continue on. When we consider spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, but earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. Since I brought up the magazine and choosing which ones you want over there, this verse kind of comes to mind. How does this one get explained? Again, the Holy Spirit is the one that is the gift giver. He empowers the gift, He grows the gift, and all by the power of God. All right, cheated, going to use the drawing help from William MacDonald and what he said on this verse to help maybe add some clarity. When Paul says this, he is speaking to the Corinthians as a local church, not as individuals. We know this because the verb is plural in the original. He is saying that as an assembly, they should desire to have in their midst a good selection of gifts that edify. The best gifts are those that are most useful rather than those that are spectacular. Paul is not encouraging anyone to seek a gift that he or she does not have, nor should we try to force gifts on other believers. We let the Holy Spirit do His sovereign giving. Spiritual gifts in the church age, unity and diversity. That's kind of the way it's titled here in my study Bible that I have. Duke Divinity slogan has that, unity and diversity. Fortunately, they went the wrong way with diversity on that one. If you don't know much about Duke, they're very liberal at this point. So anyway, scratch that off. Verses 1 through 11 verses 1 through 11 has gone over the reality of spiritual gifts for the church age, their varieties, their purposes, and ultimately their sovereign distribution. For the church to lead, to function properly, is to be Spirit-led. Again, how should we be led? Spirit-led. Okay, not carnally. It has nothing to do with natural ability or talent. Chapter 12, verses 11 through 30, we're going to continue to look at the gifts and their purposes. So let's just take a look at some of these verses as we continue on to understanding of spiritual gifts and their application in the lives of believers. Let's read from chapter 12, verse 12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we are all to make to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Cool. So something I understand. You know, we can talk about the body. I understand the body. That's my job. That's my field that I'm in, to understand how the body works, how things are supposed to react with one another, how that when one is doing one thing, the other one can still be doing another thing, and our brain is all functioning together. But they're not working aside from one another. They are all working together, and that's because I've hopefully got somewhat of a good head on my shoulder. Christ is the head of the body, and the body follows the head, which hopefully is Christ. Just as the body is unified, so also is Christ's spiritual body, the church. Without getting much deeper than needed for spiritual gifts message, for those that are in Christ Jesus, we are part of the universal body of Christ. we are part of the redeemed. Local assemblies function as part of the local church. It is the local meeting that spiritual gifts are to function within their own local meeting. Verse 13 says, we were all baptized in one body. When we place our faith in Christ in obedience to God's word, led by the Holy Spirit, to a living union with Jesus Christ for all of eternity, is a once-for-all act that can never be taken away. This baptism of the Holy Spirit is a union that will never end. He indwells us for all of eternity. We can't kick him out. For those that truly believe and are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we are saved in Christ once and for all eternity. How many that believed were baptized into one body according to the verse? All. And all means all. All of them were baptized into the body by the Holy Spirit. Who baptized the Holy Spirit into one body? So what does that mean? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is at that time the point of salvation, is when the believer becomes a member of the spiritual body of Christ. And it is at that time that we are endowed with such spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 4 says, or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Galatians 3:27 says, for as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We have become part of a living organism. We are part of a body. Our body's living. A dead body's dead. Juliana, we get to talk about some of the medical stuff as she's going through EMT training, and GCS of 3 is, I always just put, this is a GCS of 3 right there. It is a rock. It is dead. It is not living. It has no function whatsoever. But the body itself, we're a GCS of 15. That's as high as you can go, people. We're a 15. We are with it. We are functioning appropriately as we should. We are a living organism. We are identified with Christ in his death, his burial, his resurrection. Therefore, identifying our sins, when we consider going into physical baptism in the water, we are identifying our sins as being dead and buried with Christ and risen in newness of life in Christ Jesus. He becomes our identification at that time. Who are we in Christ Jesus? I'm not going to get through. I'd love to go and just read Ephesians chapter 1 from beginning to end, or Colossians chapter 1. You can read that, of course, at a later time. Don't do it right now. I'm still speaking. But go back, read that. If you have any lost notions of who you are in Christ Jesus, go back and read Ephesians 1 or Colossians 1. But as we read these things, we realize that we are adopted as people into his mercy. We are adopted into his grace. We are brought into the family of God. We are all made to drink into one spirit. It is he that baptizes us into the body and makes us one with Christ Jesus. From that, continuing on in the chapter there, verses 15 through 26. How much time I got? We got some time. Let's read some of it. If the foot says, because I'm not of the hand, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not of the eye, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If all were hearing, where would be the sense of smell? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on those we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, given more abundant honor to that member which lacked. So that there would be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. We'll stop right there. So we'll see. I put down in my notes down here like a well-oiled machine, right? That's what God's Word is teaching us right there. If everything is working together as it should, it is like a well-oiled machine. How we like to see things at work, how we see things at home, how we like our car to do. We want it to work like a well-oiled machine, like it's supposed to work. And if everything is following, in this case, we're following the head, we're following Christ, then we are doing the things that have been endowed to us by the Holy Spirit. He's given each one of us a gift from the time that we were saved. From the time the Holy Spirit has come into our lives, He has given us a gift. We should be discovering what that gift is, and we should be asking the Holy Spirit to help guide us to increase, not for our edification, but for the edification of the church. And as we discover what our gifts are, as we discover how we're going to best use them, it should bring joy within our lives. Some of us here, you can see some of the people that have their gifts and the ones that are using them. And you can tell that the joy is in their life. You can tell that God is working and effectively using that gift in their life. And it should be their desire, not to have their gift, but to have the gift that we have been given by the Holy Spirit and working it within the meeting. And again, you will have to ask God what that is. And unlike a natural gift, it is a supernatural gift. And it may be one that you might sit there and go, I'm not comfortable with the gift that He has given me. But that is not how the supernatural gift works. It is you asking God to work within your life to help you develop this gift so that you may receive joy, because it is a gift and it is meant to be joyful. It is not meant to be burdensome. It is meant to help us to enjoy the Christian living and being part. And it may not be the ones that's standing up in front of here to give the message, to provide teaching from God's Word. It may not be the more, as he said, the ones that are desirable by mankind to want, to have the glory, to have, and that's not saying why a lot of people do it. Many people have zero desire to be recognized for what they do from up here other than have everything focused upon God and His Word. But there are some that enjoy being up and speaking. But the one that's working in the background to keep the place together, to making sure everything is flowing fluently, just like within the body, there's things that we don't see that are working in perfect unison to keep everything moving forward. Just as the eye is placed where it should be, or the ear, or the hand, it has all been set by the Creator. The gifts and their functions are teetotally determined by the Lord, not by us. The choice of our gifts and their purposes are not determined by us. Verse 24 says, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body. It is God who made the physical body and the church. It is His design, and He resides as the head. He has designed it in such a way as to make it function best, so that the members may have the same care one for another. So as we move forward in the diversity of gifts, hopefully we will be able to see that a diversity of gifts is to lead to a healthy local church. So every believer has at least one spiritual gift, gifted by the Holy Spirit. Spiritual gifts are part of the Holy Spirit's design for the local church. Spiritual gifts are designed to edify the entire assembly, not the one individual. And God wants us to develop our spiritual gifts as to the benefit of the local meeting, to build unity within the meeting. A healthy meeting will ultimately glorify God. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And that's what I have for you this morning as far as the intro into spiritual gifts, and future messages will come as we actually explore each of the individual gifts and how to see if God has gifted that one to you. I'll open it up for men for any discussion before I have one final little hint here. All right. I encourage everyone to read through 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14. Maybe go to Romans 12. These are the places you're going to find spiritual gifts. Ephesians 4 is also. So we're going to return through these sections, turn to these sections of Scripture. Maybe a little bit less review as we continue on in learning more about spiritual gift or gifts of the Holy Spirit, the ones that He has given us. All right, let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, today we just thank You that this great opportunity that we can gather together, Lord, to spend time in Your Word. We thank You for this morning and remembering Your Son, Jesus Christ, remembering a God that loves us with an everlasting love. Lord, we thank You that You are gracious, that You're merciful, that You're slow to anger with the people that are sometimes slow of learning. Lord, we just thank You for the spiritual gifts that You've given us. We pray that You would just help us to learn as we go through these Scriptures and what gift that You have given to us. And pray that we will be thankful for what You have given us and that we would exercise it and that we would learn how to best develop it, Lord, not for our edification, but for the edification of the church and for the glory of God, Lord, that we may shine Your light upon some people that are here as they see our lives, as they see us as different, Lord, and want to know what that difference is, and that is we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and that for eternity we will be with You. Lord, may we continue to honor and glorify You in our walk, in our talk, and through this local body. Pray these things in Your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.